So who can tell me, where in the scriptures do you find the phrase Immaculate Conception? And yeah, that was a really big trick question. Because that phrase is not found in here anywhere, Old Testament or New. So where did we get that from? We actually do get it from the scripture. The readings that are chosen for Immaculate Conception by the church are very deliberate. First, you get the passage from Genesis, which is basically there to do one primary thing. Here's what the problem is. And you're presented with Adam and Eve, remembering that they were created in what condition? They were full of grace. Literally, they were created in a perfect state of grace. And then they remained that way? No. That's where the problem comes. Who sins first? Some of you caught me, because it's Adam. Remember, Adam and Eve are in a covenant relationship, which means they're supposed to be willing to give themselves totally to and for each other. So where was Adam when the serpent beast is trying to trip up and deceive Mary by getting her to doubt God's word? Standing right there, probably going like this. Instead of giving his life to defend her and protect her from this beast, he's just standing back there going. So he, you know, just leaves her wide open to this attack. And then she falls to the deceit and does what God commanded them not to do. Do not eat the fruit of this one tree here only. And she does it anyway. And then Adam follows suit. And so you have this, shall we say, spiritually genetic condition that is going to be passed down from them all the way down to until the last humans are born on the face of planet Earth. We're born in a state of not perfect grace, but in a state of original sin with the weaknesses that it inflicts on our human nature. Our will is weakened and our intellect is darkened, leaving us susceptible to committing sin. So God is at work and preparing the resolution to the problem. Bring in this gospel passage, and you've got this archangel named Gabriel who appears to Mary and greets her with the words, Hail. Now he doesn't use her name. That trips us up pretty quickly, doesn't it? Yeah, he doesn't say Hail Mary, he just says Hail, full of grace. The first human since Adam and Eve to set foot on the earth in a perfect state of grace. God has given her a gift from the redemptive blessings of her son's suffering, death, and resurrection before and at the moment of her conception. Because now we've gone from here to here. We've got the old Eve who fell. Now we have the new Eve who will not fall and is going to be giving birth to God's only begotten Son, who will do this for us, who's essentially paying the price for our redemption by the shedding of his own blood. That's the connection between the gospel and the psalm of praise that followed it to the gospel passage. So what do you do with that reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians? Now, these are not just static moments in the history of redemption, but there's also something else that's going on and meant to be ongoing. Because Paul is seeing all of this, and he's writing the church in Ephesus, trying to get them to see something. What happened in the beginning and what God has done through the Blessed Mother and her son Jesus is meant to have an ongoing positive impact on the life of the church, which You know, as Mary is the bride of the Holy Spirit, the church is the bride of... Back up. Try again. The church is the bride of Christ, who, as the perfect spouse, gave his life for his bride on the cross. Now, let's pull that down to earth, so to speak, because now, what does it mean for us that are sitting here this morning? God has done the work to bring about the re-perfecting of his children, us, adopted through baptism, empowered with the Spirit in confirmation, fed with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist, so that we might live how? I'll let that one just sort of sit there for a minute. We're just supposed to keep on sinning and not worry about it until we stop breathing, right? No. What was put into motion with her being conceived without sin, without the stain, the damage to her spiritual DNA that weakened her will and intellect because it didn't, is then come forward to conceiving Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, is then meant to keep on traveling on all the way down to all of us so that we will start hopefully to recognize we do not have to keep committing sin. God has given us the gift of his word to help us to recognize what sin is and hopefully to pay so much attention to it so closely that we recognize that knowing what sin is also includes not doing it, both the sins of commission and omission, because we recognize that we also have what? I already gave you the hint. Through the power of the grace of the sacraments, remember sacraments, powers flowing forth through the body of Christ by the working of the Holy Spirit, power, not weakness. Wisdom, not foolishness. That we can not only recognize what sin is, but we can also reject it. Because you have the power to resist it. Again, that's called hold on and push the pause button, let that sink in. You know, we don't often consider that. You do not have to sin. Instant replay. You do not have to sin. Because through what God did through the Blessed Mother in the incarnation of his Son and what he did on the cross for us, the power is being granted to every single one of us through this sacrament especially to resist, to reject every single temptation Satan tries to throw at you, to reject all those temptations to doubt God's word and not take him at his word, to reject being deceived by all of the different demonic lies that are flowing through our world today especially. We can reject them and instead choose to live in a state of grace. I've said all this before. I know I'll probably say it a few thousand more times before I have the lid closed over me. I need to hear it myself. But all the stuff that's going on, all the evil that's flowing around in our world, we do not have to participate in it. We're called not to. But we need the humility to recognize we need help seeing what evil is, because God is telling us. And then remember that we're being given everything that we could ever possibly need to reject every single temptation and stay in a state of grace until the day God calls us to our eternal home. Now, if I could flip open everybody's head, plug in a USB cable, and pump that in and make it permanently store someplace, I would, including to myself. But that's what we're celebrating. And what we're celebrating, God began working through her, has brought about what can do a total transformation of every single last one of our lives. The call to sainthood doesn't happen after you're dead. It begins while we're still here. We're part of the church, the ecclesia, those who are called out from the sinful world into a part of being the bride of Christ, made holy and preserved pure and inviolate by the grace that he has given us. May we go forth and remember that and then actually do it.